First Kings 18. Please open to First Kings 18. That was our Bible reading. I'd like someone to read just everything we read before. Verse 30 to verse 40. First Kings 18. Please open your Bible and follow. First Kings 18. Whether it's paper, electronic, we have some spare Bibles here. If you need one, let me know. First Kings 18, verse 30 to verse 40. Okay, who would like to read? Okay, Fernando, you go.
Amen. First Kings 18, verse 30. It says, Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. He repaired the Lord's altar that he had thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the Lord's word came, saying, Israel shall be your name. Verse 32. With the stones he built an altar in the Lord's name. He made this trench around the altar large enough to contain 2 seahs of seed. Verse 33. He put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. He said, fill 4 jars of water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. Verse 34. He said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. Verse 35. The water ran around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. 36. At the time of the evening offering, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. 37. Hear me, Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you, Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back again. 38. Then the Lord's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and they licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Verse 40. Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let one of them escape. They seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and killed them there.
Amen. Thank you, Fernando. Thank you so much. All right, so I know this is a familiar story. If you've heard about this story before, please put up your hands. You've heard about the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Okay, let's do it the other way. You've never heard about the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Please put up your hands. All right, okay. So you see, this is why it's important that, you know, we don't just stay in one part of the Bible. It's important to keep going around. Yeah, you don't assume. You never assume. Okay? Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, never assume. See, there are many things you assume in life, and they cause you trouble. You know? You see someone, you assume that they don't like you. And it's not true. You know, they may actually be praying for you. In fact, actually, your breakthrough, like a man of God said, he said, God may put your blessing in the hand of someone you don't like. Hello? God may put your blessing in the hand of someone you don't like. You know Naaman? Naaman was a Syrian general. Yeah? But his blessing was in the hand of Elisha, who was an Israelite. So different countries. You know, like Israel and Syria? Just imagine Israel and Syria today. It's no different. Yeah? If Naaman did not humble himself enough, he will have remained a leper forever. Your blessing may be in the hand of someone you don't like. Never assume. Amen? So, this story, let's start from the end before we go to the beginning. Look at verse 40. Look at it again. You know, that's a very politically incorrect activity. Yeah? In fact, I'm sure that when the kids read it, like, what? Is this in the Bible? Is it this one of the proofs that the Bible is genuine? The Bible does not paint the facts. The Bible tells it as it is. You know? It tells you what happened as it is. That's another proof that the Word of God is genuine. Amen? I've read this part before. Some, in this modern world, you may struggle with that part. That Elijah took all the prophets. Do you know how many they were? Anybody help me? How many prophets of Baal were there? 450, yes. So, but do you think he kept 450 prophets? Do you think? No, I think he did more, because there were also 400 prophets of Asherah. You read it earlier on. So we had 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. Now, you may not understand the relationship between Baal and Asherah. Anybody want to tell me the relationship between Baal and Asherah? They are both gods, false gods. What's the relationship? Okay, I'll tell you. Asherah is the wife of Baal. Are you with me? Yeah? So Elijah killed 850 prophets. The question you need to ask yourself is, why did he do it? Yeah? Why? Why did he have to kill them? Okay, I'm not going to take answers. Just let's pause there. All right? Keep thinking. We'll get back to it. Why did Elijah have to kill the prophets of Baal? Okay, someone help me. Yes? Why? You read this. How many times have you read this story? I'm sure at least 10, you know, you've done it. Why did Elijah have to kill those prophets? Why? What was the importance? Yes, okay. Let's have one answer or two.
It's to prove the sovereignty of the Almighty God over the prophet of Baal.
Yes, 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 I agree. But it's a good answer, but it's not perfect. Because I think that when the fire came down, that's already, you know, they could not get fire to their sacrifice, but Elijah got down fire. Even after mixing up the sacrifice with water, you know? So that already proved that God is great, yeah? Why didn't he let them go? Okay? Let's. Any other person? Okay, let's have that.
I'll try. So it destroyed the altars. The problem is if he had left the prophet, those altars would be rebuilt.
That's good enough for me. The prophets of Baal represented the legacy of Baal. They represented the continuity of the problem. So Elijah might have destroyed, you know, sorted the problem then, but give it another few months or years, those prophets will resurrect the problem. So in order to eliminate the problem, he had to eliminate the source of the problem. Now, really, we're not preaching murder and manslaughter in this church. We don't believe in it. Mr. Chris, are you with me? We don't believe in murder or manslaughter. Okay? But that was for their time. Okay? So be careful how you judge time. In those days, you know, if you ever watch epic films, you know, life for life, hand for hand, eye for eye, that was the law they lived under. So don't read that and say, oh, the Bible is full of rubbish. It's not. That was how they lived. All the people, even the people that didn't know God, killed more people. Once someone is an enemy, because the enemies, when they take over your country, it's total takeover. So if you don't eliminate them, they will eliminate you. It's survivor. You understand? But we don't live in that particular, those type of laws now. Okay? The laws have changed, but the principles remain the same. The principles remain the same. If I know my enemy is going to get a nuclear weapon, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure they don't acquire what? The nuclear weapon. It says the same thing. Okay? And in fact, if I can get in and I get into where they are making, I want to destroy what? Every little trace of their technology. Same thing, same principle. Are you with me? But what is the importance of what he did? Now, go to the beginning. Go to verse 30. So that's the beginning of our reading. Verse 30. So we look at the end, which is verse 40. Now I take it back to the beginning of our reading. Verse 30. We're trying to make sense of what we're preaching today. And the title of the sermon is Repair the Altar. Look at verse 30. Let's read it together. Then Elijah called to the people, come over here. They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. Now, before I put it together, give you one more place. Now, look at verse 38. Now, I'm going to connect those 3 points. Verse 38, let's read together. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. Amen. Now let's connect it. Now, as a Christian, it is possible, and it should be so, that you've been wanting more of God. You want more love. Yes? More power. More of Him in your life. Am I right? You want more fire. Anybody want more fire of the Holy Ghost? Now, before you start getting afraid, let me explain to you. The fire of the Holy Ghost, if you're a child of God, the fire of the Holy Ghost will not destroy you. What the fire of the Holy Ghost will do to you as a child of God is to refine you. What the fire of the Holy Ghost will do to you as a child of God is to refine you, cleanse you, purify you like gold, and then empower you. Hallelujah. Now, the fire of God can destroy someone who's not a child of God, but the fire of God will not destroy a child of God. Hallelujah. Because God has not called you unto damnation. He has called you unto redemption. God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of good all the time. I know how God thinks towards me. That's why when, you know, actually I didn't write that song. It gave me to me in a dream. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I see what? His grace. That is His thoughts towards me permanently. Hallelujah. If I fall short, it's not God's problem. Hallelujah. Because God's thoughts towards me always is to move my life forward. Hallelujah. If there is something in my life that is not going right, it's not because God is the one, you know, not wanting to give me. No, He has declared His will. Hallelujah. He has declared His will from the beginning. Hallelujah. He has what? Declared His will from the beginning. And He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. My thoughts towards you, they are of peace. Say, just say, the Lord's thoughts, no matter what happens to me, the Lord's thoughts towards me are of peace. Therefore, I have a bad ride. Well, let me say it better. I have a bad ride of peace. It's your ride. Hallelujah. Now, when there's chaos in any place, when you walk in, yeah, in so long you have the fire of God in you, you'll bring peace to the chaos. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where there is confusion, you bring order. Hallelujah. Where there is darkness, you bring light. Because God's thoughts towards you are permanently of peace. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Yeah? What will He give you? More labor? He will give you rest. Hallelujah. That the rest of God does not mean you do nothing. The rest of God means that everything you do, you are doing it in peace. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the punishment for our peace and well-being has been laid on Him. Now, someone was explaining that. He said, to understand that scripture, you need to look at the Greek word. The Greek word used for that punishment being laid on Him, it's not like they just put, you know. You know, like if I say that in today's thing, you think, okay, this is the punishment for peace and well-being. And it was what? No, that's not what happened. The word, what he connotes is that he connotes something inserted into him, like this, like the whip, you know, like the whip they used on him. It had bones. So the punishment for a piece of baby was what? Laid on him. He tore him. Are you with me? He paid the price so you can have peace. Hallelujah. So you can have what? Peace. So if you don't have peace in your life, you know what you need to do? Begin to confess what God has said about your life. Hallelujah. I always make that decision. I said, there's a difference between facts and truth. Facts are the things you perceive with your senses. So, for example, Samuel is wearing a white t-shirt. That's a fact. Are you with me? It doesn't matter whether he bleached it yesterday from red to white. As far as I'm concerned, today, he's wearing what? A white t-shirt. It's a fact. Hallelujah. We're not denying the facts. Everything that happens to you in life is a fact. Something, whatever you perceive, what you hear, what you taste, what you see, what you smell, what you feel. But you are never called to live by your feelings. The Bible said the just shall live by what? By faith. And Paul said, he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know what that sight means? Sight means anything you can perceive with your senses. Hallelujah. So now, when what you are perceiving is contrary, What you need to do is lay hold on truth. The word of God is what? Truth. John 17:17. It says, sanctify them with your truth. Thy word is true. Truth is infinitely superior to facts. You know why? Truth never changes. From eternity to eternity, by his stripes, I am healed. It will never change. It's been paid for. Now, if my facts tell me that I'm feeling funny in my body, and it happens sometimes, what do? I start telling everybody, I'm not feeling okay. I'm not, Fernando, you know, yesterday I was not feeling, today is even worse. You know, tomorrow it may be even be worse. No! The feelings are there. They are facts. Hallelujah. But facts never helped anybody. What you do is you will look at God's truth and say, this is the truth. And because it's the truth, you, this fact, must change. You bow. Facts bow to the truth. Truth does not bow to facts. Facts bow to the truth. Now, how does that play out in your life? It depends on what you agree with. It's up to you. You can choose to agree with your facts. Or you can choose to begin to speak what God said. Hallelujah. You speak it until it becomes your reality. Hallelujah. Now, depending on the nature of your problem, you may need to, you know, persevere longer. Some problems are easy. Yeah? Some meals are easy to make. Like, you know, like you have chips, oven chips. You know oven chips? You know oven chips, yeah? Very easy, yeah? But if you want to make Sunday roast, it takes more time. Am I right? Some problems are easy. You just speak to them, immediately, gone. So, you will dig in and say, the truth is what I believe. I refuse to believe these facts. You are not denying them, but you are not celebrating them. You are not affirming them. Yeah? You are not taking note of them. They are there. You understand? I'm not saying that, if I'm not feeling good, then someone says, I feel the happiest person in the world. No! That's not what I'm saying. I'm not feeling good, I know. But what did the Bible say? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So my wife says, hello, how are you today? Well, you know, I'm not exactly the best at you, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't ever wake up and say, I don't feel good. Wake up and say what God has said about you. Hallelujah. Bible says the pathway of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Something happens to you, you feel that, you stumbled, you fell. What did the Bible say? Bible said a just man falls 7 times, but he rises again. Another place, Job, he said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Even if I fall, I will rise again. That's what you confess. That's the truth. Hallelujah. You take the truth of God's word, you use it to destroy the facts that don't conform. Hallelujah. When your facts conform, enjoy them. When they don't conform, resist them. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, when your facts conform to what you want, enjoy them. Now, if you want sickness, enjoy it. I don't plan to be sick again because I don't want it. You get the point? I don't want it. Anybody want sickness here? So I'm going to resist it with every last drop of blood in me. Hallelujah. When your facts don't conform, tell your neighbor, say, when your facts don't conform, resist them with the word of God. Hallelujah. That's how it works. Hallelujah. So when you want to move forward spiritually, you want more love, you want more power, you want more fire in your life. And maybe you are like me, you started praying to God and say, God, you know, I want to go to the next level. You know? And many times when you want to go to the next level, you know, the mistake you make is that you begin to think that, well, I need to do more things. Yeah? I need to what? Do more things. But look at what 1 Kings is showing us. For the fire to come down, there are some requirements. And for the fire to stay, there are also some requirements. The first requirement for the fire to come, when the fire is lost, is that you need to repair the altar. Please turn to your neighbor, say, repair the altar. Let me explain this way. You see, something that happened to you that got the fire down. Or maybe you never had fire. Something happened. Yeah? If you're in the perfect state you should be as a believer, you should have fire. You should. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. And Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you and there's no power, no fire, something is wrong. Yeah? Now, if you want to continue just as you are and expect that if you do more things, the fire will come, you're just wasting your time. The first thing to do is to repair the altar. Now, I'm going to show you, you know, with the time left, how to repair the altar. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you how to repair the altar. Because when the altar is repaired, the fire will fall. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? The goal of any time I preach, anytime I come to preach, whatever I preach, is to move your life forward. Some things I will preach will excite you. Yeah? You will like me. Sometimes I will preach, I was like, oh, what is pastor saying today? But anytime I preach, it's because I've discovered that, oh, you need to know or do that thing so that you can move forward. I don't have this. The time is too short. I believe that the world will end within 20 years. That's my belief. I'm not imposing it. That's just, do I have a right to my personal opinion? So I don't have any time to waste. No time to waste. So if I come here and preach, I don't have any time. How many Sundays do we have in a year? Only 52. I don't have time to waste. So if I'm preaching it, it's important for you to move forward. Hallelujah. Now open to Judges. We want to look at how to repair the altar so that the fire will fall. So that you can be that person. Every one of us, if you're a truly child of God, you know in your conscience that there's a place you ought to be. Hallelujah. You just know it. You don't know it by your senses, you know it by the Spirit that you ought to be somewhere. And you also know most of us, our testimony is, oh, I know I'm not where I need to be. If I take a survey now of all the believers in UK, I will get a 99.99% confirmation that we are all not where we need to be. And how do we know? We know in our conscience, in our spirit. Now the question is, how do we get from where we are to where we need to be? Judges 6. Look at Judges 6 verse 23 to verse 27. Repair the altar. And you know, when we are preaching like this, the worst mistake you can make to yourself is say, you know, as I'm preaching, be thinking of somebody it applies to. No, it applies to you, only you. It's not your neighbor, tell them, say, it applies to you, only you. You see, you're making a big mistake. You know, one of the worst things you can do to yourself when you come before God, you say, I'm okay, it's the other person. You know the story of the two sinners? The two sinners. It's a real story. One, they are both sinners. One was a Pharisee. One was a tax collector. Now, in those days, the tax collectors were seen to be greater sinners than the Pharisees because the Pharisees were religious people. Yeah? They were actually the top hierarchy of religion. So they both went before God in the temple, side by side. So the tax collector goes and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Simple, straightforward, direct prayer. The Pharisee goes, Father, I thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. I pray 3 times a day. I pay my tithe. I give alms to the poor. I give to charity. I thank you that I'm not like them. Jesus said at the end of it, that tax collector went on more righteous than the Pharisee. So every time you see the word of God, don't think of another person. Think only of yourself. Because it's you that you're hearing that word. And it's you that need to respond to what you're hearing. Judges 6. Okay, we're halfway in the message. So we're making good progress. Judges chapter 6, verse 23. We read it. That was our second Bible reading. Judges 6, verse 23, verse 26, Yeah, 24. Let's make it shorter. 24 to 26. I want to show you. You know, some of the things I saw here, the Lord showed me even yesterday. It's like I've never read it before in my life. And I have read it. It's just I never saw it. You know? You know, like, have you ever watched a movie and then you watch it the second time and you see something you didn't see before? And yet you watch the whole movie. That's the way life is. That's why we need to meditate on the word. Yeah? You cannot say, oh, I've read the whole Bible, I don't need to. No, there are many things you can't see. And there's some things you've seen, but you've not seen the other dimension or the deeper dimension. That's why we need to meditate. Not just read, but meditate on the word. If you want to walk in revelation, you need to meditate on the word. Hallelujah. Let's read it. Let's have someone from the left side of the church. Actually, it's the right side of the church. Yeah? On my left side. Wait, the right side. Yes. Judges 6, verse 24 to 26. Yes? Judges chapter 6, verse 24 to 26.
Judges 8.
Yes.
Yeah, Judges chapter 6.
Yes.
From verse 24. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace.
Amen. Now, have you ever said Jehovah Shalom? Or you've told someone Shalom? That's where it comes from. Now you know. Yeah? Judges 6, 24. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. God is my peace. Now, why I pause to you just to emphasize to you that Gideon, yeah, wanted to do the will of God. He met the Lord. Then, just as he was, he built an altar to the Lord. Are you getting that? Continue. So Gideon has built an altar now. Yeah? Continue.
The altar remains in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day.
Okay, 25.
That night the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's head, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to
okay.
Baal.
Are you listening to that? Gideon built an altar. Did the Lord make any comment on that altar? No. The fire fall on that altar? No. Gideon built an altar, but the Lord has his own plan. He told him, pull down your father's altar to Baal. You are jumping the step. See, anytime you want to repair your altar to the Lord, yeah, you need to remember that the reason that why that altar is not operating is because some false altars have entered your life. And their presence in your life guarantees that you'll never be on fire for God. So, it's not for you to build a new altar. You have to first pull down the false altars. Are you with me? Please continue. Verse 25.
Pull down your father's altar to the bow and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it.
Okay, verse 26. Then.
Then build an altar to the Lord your
okay,
God.
Okay, pause
here.
Again. Are you seeing the sequence? If you want to repair your altar, and that altar simply means your relationship with God, your communion with God, so that it can be vital and vibrant, living and active, a type of relationship that will deliver results, a type of relationship that will help you to be effective in your world as a Christian, not just a Christian in name, but a Christian that can impact the world as light, as salt and light. Hallelujah. It's just not enough to be born again and to carry the name Christian. You are called to impact your world. The reason why Jesus left is so that you can represent him. And if you are not representing him, then Jesus is limited in how much he can do in this world. Because the church is the body of Christ. The head functions through the body. See that? When last did your head sweep the floor? You see what I mean? The head functions through the body. And so for you to be able to function, your altar, which is that place of your personal communion, personal relation with God, should be alive, should be whole, not broken. Hallelujah. It needs to be repaired. But for it to be repaired, you got to pull down the false altars that have crept into your life. Do you know how the false altars creep into your life? Yeah? The first key. It said your father's altar. So there's something that creeps into your life from your family, where you come from. They are dead. You don't even see anything wrong with them because you've always known it like that. Are you with me? There's some altars that creep into your life from your friends and associations. There are some altars that creep into your life from TV. You just watch it. After a while, you just want to do exactly what you saw them doing. Hallelujah. You know, and I was having that chat with you, Fernando. TV is the devil's way of reprogramming your mind. If there's anything that is not good, if the devil wants you to do it, it's very simple. Just put it on TV and make all the people doing it look like the nicest people in the world. After a while, it will become very acceptable to you. Are you with me? That altar will creep in to your life. Now, every false altar that creeps into your life weakens you spiritually. That's why the fire is not there. Because you have been weakened. Because your consecration has been compromised. You see what I mean? So another way of saying repair your altar is increase your consecration. Now, consecration simply means you will deny yourself of some things. Now, you can sit down and argue and say, I have the right, but you have no fire. What do you prefer, right or fire? Are you with me? So, you see, you may be praying and fasting and say, God, give me more fire. God never ran out of fire. Never. You know the barbecue now, after a while, the gas will go. Is done. But God is fire. He said, I can prove it to you. Hebrews 10. He said, the Lord is a consuming. And that's who he is. He doesn't run out. So, God has not run out of fire. What is compromising the fire is the false altars in your life. And so long they remain, your level will never change spiritually. You will be on that same. You may do more activity, but the spiritual level will going to remain the same. But as you increase your consecration, which means as you begin to deny yourself of all those false indulgences that should not be in your life, the fire will begin to come because the altar is being repaired. Hallelujah. And that's God's plan for your life. God doesn't want you to attain a level spiritually and never go beyond that. That means you're not growing. God wants to take you from glory to glory. Please don't you ever say from glory. I don't know if you want it, but that's what I want. I say from glory to glory. Imagine somebody sees you next year and say, ah, Chris, what happened? There's something so different about you. Now, this person has known you all your life. What did Amanda do to you in 1 year? Hallelujah. You now tell yourself, it's not Amanda, it's the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? But it comes through consecration. The Holy Spirit is saying something now. There is something in your life today that needs to go. If you let it go, you will move forward. Hallelujah. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? It's in the Bible. This man was a rich man. He had inherited a lot of possession, but he wanted to follow Jesus. So he said, Lord Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? But Jesus said, you know, you keep all the commandments. Like you and I, you want to do more things for God, yeah? And it's good. It's good to keep all the commandments. Say to your neighbor, say it's good to keep all the commandments. You know why? Because when God speaks, he doesn't waste his time. If God ever told you anything, it's important for your life. Okay? So he told him, said, yes. The man said, yeah. He said, from my youth, I've been keeping all the commandments. That's a very special man, isn't it? You rarely find any youth today keeping all the commandments. Jesus looked to him and he loved him. Loved him. He said, there's only one thing you need to do more. He said, go now. Sell everything that you have and come back and follow me. And the Bible said that the man went back very sad. Very what? Sad. Hallelujah. So let me just, in rounding up, let's talk about these false altars. Let's just list some of them. Normally I will ask this question, but for today's time, I don't want to ask questions. That will save us some time. Okay, before I list them, please finish reading. Look at what he said there. Look at verse 25. Please read me the last line. Okay. Verse 26 now. Verse 26.
Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully.
Yes.
Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar.
Now listen to this.
Using it as fuel.
Using as fuel.
The wood of the Asherah pole you cut down.
I don't know whether I've ever read this. I read it, but I never saw it. God is telling Gideon that, actually, that wood that you were raising up to Asherah, the false god, now use it as fuel for my own altar. That's what God is telling you today. If you want fire in your life, if you want that fire, you want to be in a place where you are enjoying God. I tell you something, it's a terrible thing not to enjoy God. It's terrible. You see, when you're not enjoying God, you are just doing religion. You got to enjoy God. You got to do it and you enjoy it. That, yeah, I'm loving God and I'm enjoying it. That's the plan. I'm serving God and I'm what? Enjoying it. That's the plan. I'm not doing anything to impress anybody. I'm doing it because I'm enjoying it. You say, oh, what do you enjoy doing? You say, playing table tennis. I'm enjoying serving God. Hallelujah. You got to take that false altar, pull it down, break it down, and use it as fuel. Burn it up and let it become a fuel for God's altar. Let's begin to round up for time. So I just list, what are the possible false gods in the life of believers today? Yes? Let me take some few answers. I've talked about these false gods that we need to pull down or remove from our lives because they are the guarantee that the fire will not fall. What are these false gods? I have like 10 on my list. Let's have some. He said money. Let me qualify that. Money is not the problem. It's not your neighbor saying money is not the problem. You know, even my sister agrees with it. Because without money, no Dubai. Are you with me? Are you with me? Even my sister agrees. Because when she gave her testimony, she talked about God blessing. Ah, it's not money. It's the love of money. It's the love of money. Hallelujah. It's the love of money. It's the love of money. Let me put it this way. When you love money more than you love God, it's a false God. Now, when you're not using your money to serve God, it's the proof that you love money more than you love God. Yes, let's have some other answer. What are the false gods in our lives that need to be pulled down? Those altars. Yes? That's a good one. Yes? Number one on my list. You got it straight on. Reward day, £5. Lisa, what are the false gods in the life of believers? I'm not talking of unbelievers, I'm talking of Christians, believers today.
Pride.
Let's put it in the language you understand. Ego. Independence. Yeah? Self-righteousness. I'm okay. Don't know about you, but I'm just okay. Are you with me? It's the hindrance. The fire can't come in because the pride becomes a barricade. Hallelujah. Yes, let's have some more answers. What are the false gods in the life of believers today? I have 10 on my list, so 2 gone.
Materialism.
Yes. I mean, it's closely associated to money, although it has its own shades. You know, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the pride. You know, so sometimes you may not know it happens. Because it can happen to anybody. It's happened to me before. I can always tell my wife, I said, there is no end to the acquisition of things. If you acquire something and say, oh, you know, all my life I've been wanting this thing. And finally you get it. Yeah, enjoy it for 6 months. You find something else. So there's no end to acquiring. It can become what? A false god. Block you from going deeper with God. Yes? We've had 3. Let's take 7 more. Then we finish. Sister Mary?
Unforgiveness.
Yes. Stevens is a false god and is closely associated with pride. But let me also explain another aspect of unforgiveness. This one can really block you. When you refuse to forgive yourself, you have to understand that that's also a sin. Okay, let me explain something to you. You sinned, yeah? And you've gone to God to forgive you. But now you refuse to forgive yourself. That's a new sin. Are you listening to me? I tell you something, you may think it's humility. It's not humility, it's pride. It's pride because your ego has been hurt that you did what you didn't plan or you didn't think you would do. Now, if you refuse to forgive yourself, you can't move forward with God. Every time you want to move forward, God will come and remind you, you are unworthy. Then you just say, yes, it's true. Ah, Satan, you said I'm unworthy. I agree with you. Imagine, agreeing with Satan. And then you just feel you have a low self-esteem. Because once you can't forgive yourself, you cannot walk in righteousness because you're not worthy. Whereas the Bible says that if we confess our sins, I don't care what it is. So long you've not died, let me tell you, the day you commit a sin that is too bad, God will kill you immediately. Are you with me? So the fact that God has not killed you means that it's not the unpardonable sin. In fact, the day you commit the unpardonable sin, you will not want to ask God to forgive you because you will lose the ability to ask God to forgive you. It's pardonable. Are you with me? So anytime you're feeling bad at what you've done and you are telling God to forgive you, it's proof that you've not yet committed what? The unpardonable sin. Because when you commit it, you will not to repent. With me, get that right. So nobody should ever be under that bondage that you commit an unpardonable sin. When you do, which you will never do, you will not have a desire to repent. People who have committed the unpardonable sin cannot repent. So once you have the desire to repent or you feel bad about it, it's proof that you've not yet committed the unpardonable sin. When you go to God and say, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteous. It means that if God does not forgive me my sins, when I confess to him, God has become unfaithful. And he cannot be unfaithful. But Bible doesn't just say that. It doesn't say he will just forgive us. He said he will cleanse us from unrighteousness. That means that I can come back into his presence as a righteous man. Because I have been cleansed from what? Unrighteousness. Okay. These are my tangos, so let me stop there. Let me just read my list. The love of money, you know, can become a false god in your life. Alcohol indulgence, yeah, can become what? A false god in your life. Fire will never come. You will just remain on the level forever. Worldly entertainment can become a false god in your life. I'm talking about TV, movies, and music. And remember I said worldly entertainment. The key word is what? Worldly. How do you know something is worldly? And worldly entertainment always tells you about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yeah? That's it. That's the proof. So meaning that everything, to know that something is worldly, when worldly musicians want to sing, they can only sing of money, about money, power, sex, and romance. They have nothing else to sing about. Check any song from a worldly musician. That all the stories they tell you is about money, power, sex, and romance. Because they can't give you what they don't have. Are you with me? Yes? Let me tell you some other things on my list. You know, an excessive desire for leisure. You know, God has never created you to do nothing. So if you have an excessive desire for leisure and realization, it's a false god. Because if anything God wants to tell you to do, you rather just want to enjoy. You understand? You will not have time to do it. So an excessive desire for leisure and realization is a false god. It can steal away that fire of God from you. Okay? Selfish ambition is a false god. Everything that happens in your life, you just want to compete. You want to compete with any other person. If you achieve something, the moment your neighbor achieves it, you have become very unhappy and very dissatisfied, and your only prayer is, God, okay, now, can you help me to be better? You see, because all these things, the problem is that when you're doing, the Holy Spirit will be hiding. You know, Holy Spirit is inside you. But when these things come in, we have to run for cover. Because they are not compatible with him. So that's why the fire cannot come in. Okay, let's stop there. Have I made? Yes, Lord, one more I should mention. I've talked about guilt, unforgiveness, whether yourself or others. Worldly company and friendships. So I'm not saying you should not have friends with anybody. You should have friends, you should be friendly towards all people. But your closest friends should not be unbelievers because they will teach you what they have. They will give you what they have. If your closest friends, if you count your closest friends and an unbeliever is one of them, you are in trouble. An unbeliever does not have the life of God in them. They can never give what they don't have. Never! Are you listening? So your inner company cannot be there. Because when you're in trouble, you ask for their advice. And they will give you one of the techniques of the devil. Because the Bible says that the unbeliever is of their father, the devil. Are you with me? Let me stop there. Let's pray. So today I want to talk to God. You see, a key element of repairing our altar is to pull down the false gods. The moment you pull it down, fire will begin to flourish. You know, imagine the same thing with barbecue. Think about the barbecue. If you want the barbecue to have fire, maybe stones there. You need coal, but there are stones. You need to remove them. In the space, remove those false. They talk to God and say, Father, if you've identified that, if Holy Spirit has told you about anything in your life today that is a false altar, it could be in your life, it could be in your home. Some of these altars, they are right in our homes. I want you to talk to God and surrender them and say, Father, today, my mission as I leave church today is to go and pull it down. You see, the altars today, they are not like magic wands and whatever. It's all these false gods. I will pull it down today. You know? Whatever it is, receive grace and say, Father, because I want to move forward with you, I want more fire, more love, more power, more of you in my life. These false altars, this false God, I will pull it down. No more. I give it up in the name of Jesus. And I begin to repair my altar to the Lord by moving forward in that higher level of consecration. It takes sacrifice to be in higher consecration. But the rewards are mighty. The rewards are beautiful. The things you are struggling for today, they will come easy when your consecration increases. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.